You're listening to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your thunderstruck
guides to the worlds of comic book universes.
Yes, we are. And we're, as always, joined by what's a good word for Shaggy?
Shaggy Feltson.
Hey, guys, that was such a wonderful introduction.
He's a great kid there.
Chris is at a loss for words to describe
that, that's exactly what it is.
That's what I hear when people talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
Usually women.
Yeah, it's usually... Oh. Hey, we gather every week to talk comic books, and this week is no exception. How do we start the show again?
Well, we are here to champion the local comic
That's
book.
Right.
Comic book shop, and we are here on CFMU McMaster Radio, 93.3 FM, and we are also podcast on Get the Point Radio, iTunes, and you can find us on comicbookdaily.com under Comic Book Culture. Comic Culture.
Yes, Comic Culture Radio Show. And we start the show every week delving into the comics that are hitting the stands of the new this week stands of your local comic shop.
The new this week, not the new last week.
No.
New this week.
The new this week.
Right.
You know, some comic shops have a dedicated new this week shelf.
Yeah, well, that's the way we used to do it back in the old days.
Right.
And I used to really like that.
And our shop, for some reason, I don't know why, but we intermix them with all the other flow.
Yeah.
And then we put those little cards with the little color above it.
Yeah.
See, the theory there is...
you might see something else.
Well, yeah, because what people used to do is come in and just look at the top shelf.
Right.
Ignore totally...
completely.
The 90% of the stuff that's below.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this way, as their eyes are scanning, I must have missed that.
For example, whenever I'm looking now, all I'm looking for are the orange cards.
No, not so. Yeah. But you know what? Your eye will catch the other ones.
Yeah.
So what we like to do at our shop is make people work extra hard for their comics.
They have to earn their comics. You know what it is? It's like ordering the fajitas of comics. Where you have to work to make
work
your own.
Yeah. Yeah. You like comics, you're going to work for it. You've got a big beat.
Right. It's like going to the Mandarin and getting the crab's legs.
Yeah.
I think you burn more calories trying to eat those suckers than you
So true.
You know who?
Or those little peel and eat shrimp.
Yeah. Oh,
it takes forever.
You know who really pays for those? Is the guy sitting next to you, because he's wearing it all by the end of it.
That's so true.
Yeah, so true.
So true. All right, listen. We are here to talk about comics, not to talk about crabs.
Crabs.
Although we can get into that later on.
Yeah, we can get into several versions of crabs later. Yeah.
All right, listen. We are here to talk about comics, so we're going to talk about new this week. Shecky, do we have a sponsor for new this week?
You know we do, because it's getting cold. Brr, cold out there. New this week brought to you by Iceman Winter Tires. Who else can give you the traction you need for the impending winter conditions?
Iceman.
Wait, hold on.
Ice to see
so
you.
Iceman's giving me good traction.
Yeah, because he knows how to run on ice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or does he slide on ice?
Yeah. Slides, but that's all right.
Is that what he does?
Yeah, it's okay, though.
You know what, though?
He knows ice.
Tomato, tomato. He knows ice.
He knows ice. Yeah. He knows what to do in ice.
Yeah. Put him on ice.
All right, listen. First up on the hit parade, I want to talk about the Savage Hulk. Now, the reason why I want to talk about Savage Hulk...
Hold on, Chris.
Uh-oh.
What?
Can you back
that
up a bit?
Beep, 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 beep.
I'm losing track of what the Hulk is called.
Okay, so it used to be Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And then I think for a while.
Indestructible Hulk.
And then it was Indestructible Hulk.
The Ultimatable Hulk.
Ultimatable Hulk.
Indubitably
Hulk.
Indubitably Hulk.
After you, please, Hulk. Yeah. So this is the Savage Hulk.
The Savage Hulk.
Do you remember back in the 70s and early 80s, it was the Savage She-Hulk?
Yes.
Yes. Well, this is the Savage Hulk.
The Savage Hulk.
Okay. Savage Hulk. This is by Hardman and Becco and Boyd. Now, so here's the thing.
It's an
odd book because it's got Doctor Strange in it.
Doctor Strange.
Now, uh-huh. Doctor Strange is one of those characters that I think Marvel is kind of, you know, it's going to plan for the phase three of their Marvel.
They're banking on him for down the road. Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a feeling he's going to start to appear more often in the comics.
Out of nowhere, really, because he's like Doctor Strange.
Is he actually a doctor?
Yeah,
yes, he is.
He
was a surgeon.
Who hurt his hands in some sort of accident.
Yeah.
Well, then I wouldn't trust him to operate on him.
So he couldn't operate, so he figured out how to do the mystical arts.
Well, yeah, so it was one of those stories where he got all bitter about himself.
He was a bitterman.
Went to Tibet.
Look at Steve Strange, Bitterman.
Yeah, Bitterman, yeah. Anyways, look, see, Dr. Strange, he's actually kind of like on trial here to begin with, and it's an odd-looking book. There's multi-universes and the Hulk and Doctor Strange, and you know what? It's a cool book. It's a very cool book. I love the way the Hulk is drawn in this book.
Without giving too much away, Chris, it's a cool book.
Well, you know what? I don't want to give too much away.
Don't give it away.
It's sort of a fun take on the characters.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, being as a younger guy, they're reading a lot of Conan the Barbarian when I was a kid, right? It was always kind of the brawn of Conan who didn't understand the sorcery of the sorcerers.
Right.
And it was always a cool dynamic and battle between that. And so I'm hoping this
kind of plays
a little
bit on that. And that's sort of kind of what it is.
All right, hey, The Savage Hulk number 5 is available at your local comic book shop today.
Yeah. All right, so next up, I want to talk about – now, this is sort of a – so last night, well, let me back it up a bit. So
you remember last night?
Believe it or not. Two nights ago, we had the third episode of Gotham.
Which I did watch.
Which I have not watched yet, so
the last 10 seconds, Chris.
Don't tell him.
Last night, we had the first episode of Flash, which I still haven't seen yet.
All right.
And then tonight, we're going to have the first episode of the third season of Arrow. Now.
Wait. Last night was also the third episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. I have not watched anything but Gotham, by the way, for the record. But, man, there's so much superhero on TV.
Superhero stuff. Yeah.
Stop it.
I know.
Yeah. Enough already.
So.
Hello.
So, the book I'm holding in my hand is Arrow. Now, it's Arrow Season 2.5.
No, what you're holding in your hand is a nudie magazine because there's a naked man on the front.
I know. I think they're aiming for another audience here because the main...
Certainly have your attention.
The Chris Owen audience right there.
Yeah, clearly. Well, the main actor for Arrow, which I don't remember his name right now, but he is...
Dash Riprock.
Dash Riprock is on the
Huge
cover.
Huge Jackman.
Half naked.
Yes.
On the cover of Arrow Season 2.5. Now, this Season 2.5 is designed to obviously go between Season 2 and Season 3 of the Arrow TV show.
Now, hold on. Recap me because I wasn't listening at the beginning.
You know,
season are we into in Arrow now?
We are into 3.
Okay. So why is this coming out now is my question.
That's a great question. Yeah. Great question.
Are they late? Come out in the summer?
I think this probably should have come out in the summertime. This should have come out easily a little while ago. However, it's here now. Now, unless I'm missing something here. December 2014, so we're in the right month. It's not like I picked up something that was just, you know, too late. Not like I screwed up. That's what I was trying not to say, but, you know. But interestingly enough, it's actually written by Mark Guggenheim, who's actually the co-producer.
He's at that museum in New York.
Yeah. He's got a museum in New York,
yeah.
And he's also the co-producer for the TV show. So, interesting book. I don't want to give it away, but it actually has got all the recurring characters, and it's, you know, for everything that's good about this comic, it seems like...
It sucks?
It's kind of boring.
Man, it sucks, Chris. Yeah, just say it.
For everything
just
good about this thing, it stinks.
I mean, it came out at the wrong time.
Yeah.
It's got sort of half-assed fight scenes in the middle of it.
I don't like it. First thing I don't like is this really good-looking guy on the cover. It doesn't work.
Makes you feel inadequate.
Makes you feel
pretty well.
Why, just because of those rippling pecs and awesome abs?
Yeah, he's got two, so I'm jealous
Don't worry, Wall. It's just the lighting.
That's what it is. Yeah, I look just like him behind the tree in the dark about 40 meters away.
Yeah.
When someone's looking in the opposite direction.
All right. So, hey, listen, Arrow number one, season 2.5. No, let me do that again. Arrow season 2.5, number one, is available at your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
Correct. All right. Next up, we've got, Walt, you're going to like this one.
I will.
I know you're going to like this one.
I know I will.
This is an Archie comic.
Now,
it's The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Oh.
So just like we had the Archie Afterlife with Archie, now we've got The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So it's a more of a horror-type book.
Like The Witch?
Horror.
Horror.
Horror. Okay.
The Witch? The Horror?
Sabrina.
Horror Sabrina?
Yeah.
Okay. Thought I met her once.
Yeah, no, I think you're mispronouncing horror.
Oh.
Or Sabrina.
Or Sabrina. But, you know what? Right off the bat, this book reminds me of. Do you remember the Red Circle comics?
Oh, I do.
You know, and the Chilling Adventures in Sorcery.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I think was the first stab at Sabrina,
right.
In the '70s,
right?
And then the Chilling Sorcery stuff from Red Circle.
So this is sort of like an homage to those
cool
days.
Stuff. But it's got like a Rosemary's Baby type thing
cover.
On the cover.
Now, if you open up the book, it's got an interesting art style because it's not your typical Archie kind of art. It's got that cool sort of 70s horror kind of art style, too, kind of like a Gene Colan-ish kind of thing going on. Anyways, I really like the way it looks. I'm definitely going to be buying this one.
It's almost Exorcist-y. You know?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, that is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, number one, and that's available at your local comic book shop. Hey, head out and support your local comic book shop.
All right, listen, we're going to have a quick musical interlude. What do you got? Do you got something signed up for us here?
I have to prelude this one.
Oh, boy.
This is the Walter D. selection of the week.
Uh-oh.
I just pray that this is actually the song he wanted this week as opposed to last week where I played his request.
And we didn't know
And we got flack about it because it wasn't the song he thought it was.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah. All right, let's hear what you got.
Let the good times roll, Walter.
Hit me.
Teenage Head for you.
I love Teenage Head.
Yeah, well, you know, so do I. It's a great band.
It's
great
a
band.
great band.
Great band.
So that was from like the 60s or 70s or whatever, right?
70s,
80s,
yeah.
Late 70s.
So after, like, well, okay, but going in like the late 80s, do they become like Adult Head?
No, because no one likes Adult
Head.
No one likes Adult Head.
Teenage
Head
is the
Teenage
band,
Head is where,
the band
it, where
you
it's
want
at.
To listen
yeah.
to.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah.
That's what you want on your iPod. What do you call those things that go in your ears?
Yeah, iPod will
iBuds?
Work. Yeah. iBuds.
iBuds?
iBuds!
Hey!
Hey, buds!
Hey there, bud.
I didn't realize I was from the
East Coast. What you got in the bag there, bud?
All right, listen.
Hey,
let me take over for
you. Right, so,
we
Chris,
do have.
Take over.
We're going to be talking about industry news, and Shecky, I'm sure you have something for industry news for us.
So, iBuds, industry news part one, brought to you by Hamilton's
iBuds
Art Crawl, because you'll come out to see the art, and by the end, you'll be crawling home.
Nice.
And I've known many folk who've gone to Art Crawl.
Yeah.
They say it's crazy, it's big, it's spectacular on James Street North in Hamilton. But they say there's definitely drinks a-flowing, people are enjoying themselves.
Yeah, the problem
and
with the Arts Crawl
is.
What's that?
Everybody ends up at the Vasco da Gama because that's one of the few places that serves the pints, right?
Right, so like, right.
Yeah, this museum. Oh, that's lovely, honey. Where the hell can I go find
where,
a drink
where
around
a drink
here?
Around
what the
here?
Hell is going on? Yeah.
All right, listen. We got to talk about speaking of Hamilton and Art Crawl. We got to talk.
Well,
about,
speaking of Teenage Head,
which is who also
was
Hamilton,
a Hamilton band,
and
they were a great Hamilton band.
They were pretty big in their
time.
Oh,
they were huge.
Actually, you know what? I actually heard, no word of a lie, I heard an interview with one of the band members from Head.
Yeah.
And they were actually talking about how influential they were in the punk scene.
Yes.
Yes. Even influential all over the world.
I know.
Yeah. They were almost, like the Ramones Clash sort of era.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They had lots of influence. Huge Head in the 70s, Walt.
Huge head in the 70s. Yeah. All right. Head was huge in the 70s. Apparently it still is now.
Apparently it still is now. People still like it.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about the Hamilton Comic Con that just went off this weekend.
Yes.
And that we were all there.
Yes.
You know, and you were there on this. Well, it was only a one-day show. I was going to say
I was there on Saturday.
On the Saturday.
Yeah, you were there on the Saturday, and Shecky was there on Saturday.
You were going to say to him, you were there on the Saturday, but you weren't there on the Friday to help us load on.
Right.
Yeah. No, we'll forget about that.
I am a full-time college professor. Yeah. Now, I don't have time for such trivial things as loading up.
It was a great show. It was, I think they had what? I think the guys were telling me, the promoters were telling me, James and Chris, great guys.
Yep.
You know, except when it's time for the tab.
Yeah.
Ooh, guys, I have my wallet. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, guys,
ooh,
how you
guys.
Doing? Hey, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I think they went up from 4,000-ish last year to over 7,000 attendees this year.
Awesome.
That's an over 75% increase. Well,
yeah, according to
Schechter,
the human
According
computer.
To a human calculator here. Yeah.
And that was a fun show. It was a great show. It was kind of what you expect from all Comic-Cons, except it had kind of a Hamilton flair to it.
Yeah,
right? It had that Hamilton feel to it.
Right, yeah,
you could always tell. I mean, I could tell, like, I was listening. I had my earbuds on.
Yep.
And there were certain telltale signs that you were at the Hamilton Con.
True enough.
Wait, so you had your earbuds listening to, like, music or something, and you were still
seeing things.
Well,
yeah.
He's got a sixth sense.
Sixth sense. So, I mean, you could tell, like, you're walking around, and you hear little things, and you go, yeah, I'm at the Hamilton Con. Because cons are kind of becoming all the same.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like,
that's
you don't know what con you're in. Where the hell am I? You know?
It's true.
All I see is, I see Lou Ferrigno. I could be in Montreal. I could be in Seattle.
So what were some of the signs that you saw that
Well, there's signs. Like, I was walking around, and one guy, you overhear somebody saying, hey, nice pigskin Pete costume.
So then
I knew I was in Hamilton.
So for our listeners who don't have a clue as to who Pigskin Pete is, he's a mascot for the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Right. And the guy goes, hey.
I thought it was 18th century birth control. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, man.
All right.
Because the one guy said, hey, is that like a Spidey villain?
Oh, yeah, yeah, true enough.
People don't know, like you. They don't know. So Pigskin Pete. As another guy, people were coming from all over the world. Actually, the promoters were saying they were getting ticket requests from southern United States.
Really?
From Europe.
You're
One
kidding.
Guy from Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I overheard a Jewish guy from New York.
Amazing.
I mean, he was touring Hamilton. He's at the show. He goes, you call that a mountain? What mountain? Oy vey, they call that a mountain.
So true. So true.
Because Hamilton, our little
mountain,
escarpment,
which is about
100 meters tall.
Yeah, we do call it a mountain.
Yeah, we call it a mountain.
So true. It's so true.
Oy vey. Oy vey. That's a mountain? Yeah, yeah. That's not a mountain.
Oh, boy. Okay, please keep going.
There's a British tourist there. I overheard him saying, oh, I say. I thought this con was in Bermuda.
Wait, Danny Champ was at the show?
Yeah. No, he's in South Africa now.
South Africa now.
Oh, you see,
the crux of that joke, of course, is that Hamilton, Bermuda.
There is a Hamilton in Bermuda.
Man,
yeah.
This stuff is just falling
flat. Oh, is that what it was?
I got the joke. I got it.
I heard another guy say, who's wee wee?
Oskies.
Oskie wee wee. Right. There's another guy. You see, you overhear everything. On my way to the washroom, I heard two guys arguing. No, Jackie Washington didn't play for the Dodgers.
cheep, 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 cheep.
I actually have no idea.
I have no clue as to what you're talking about.
This wasn't rehearsed before, obviously, because I have no idea what he's
Jackie
talking
Washington
about.
Was a prominent Hamilton musician for years, decades, right? But nobody knew him. Apparently, you two didn't either.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What else did I got? Yeah. Man, I don't know if I should keep going. I heard one guy say, hey, is that Matt Hayes?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, only Hamiltonians
Our two Hamiltonian hour. Listeners will
yeah.
get that.
Yeah. What else did I hear? Oh, I overheard one guy saying, oh, nice Evelyn Dick costume. Now, of course, Evelyn Dick also known as the Hamilton's Black Widow.
That's true, yeah.
She, in the 40s, she apparently, like, killed her husband and cut off his head just cut off his
and his digit.
No.
You're thinking of John Bobbitt.
Yeah, that's the one I like.
Yeah.
No, he cut off arms. There was actually a schoolyard, remember the schoolyard?
It's like a song where they all dance around in a circle and they fall down.
No. You cut off his head, you cut off his arms, you cut off his legs. Oh, how could you miss his dick?
Yeah.
Oh, how could you miss
how
his
could
dick?
How could you miss his dick? That was actually a play.
Yeah. How could you miss his dick? Yeah, you know? So anyway, that was a good one. So that was
that's a good title for Torontonians.
There's a lot of Torontonians in the crowd.
Yeah.
And I overheard a couple of them say, "Goes, where the hell can I find a Starbucks?"
That's so true.
We're loyal to Hortons.
We are. Oh,
there's another guy that says, "What do you mean the lake's north of here?"
Oof.
And thankfully, the last guy said, he goes, hey, man, what time does it get dark around here? Because, you know, downtown Hamilton isn't necessarily the best. Hey, listen. So, I mean, that's what the Hamilton Con can give you. Good material.
Yeah, good something.
So, no, but what was your take, your guy's take on the con?
Okay, so, you know what? I thought the show was great. You know what was really interesting to me is this was clearly a pop culture event, and not as much as a comic book event as it was a pop culture event. But I really liked it. I loved the fact there's all different kinds of people from all walks of life going to this show, and I liked the fact that there was there's a strong cosplay contingent, and I have a feeling that this is something that they're going to try to bank on to make the show grow even larger, because it's not very often they brought in professional cosplayers.
Yeah, they did,
and that's something that shows don't do very often, and it's happening more often. But if they can really key into that cosplay thing, that might be something that will help them set themselves apart from other conventions.
Yeah.
Now, because I mean, they had Destiny Nicholson there. And they had Nicole Jean, and both of them had big lineups. They were signing autographs.
Big lineups.
Wow. I actually went up to Nicole. I said hello.
Hi, you got a big lineup.
You got a big lineup.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't really talk to her very much. She was one of those weird fanboy things.
Is she
like,
the Psylocke one?
No, she was dressed as like an autumn poison ivy.
Yeah.
So she had all kinds of red leaves all over.
Who's the one was here at our shop for comic free comic? The one.
I don't know her name.
Yeah, I forget her name.
I know what you mean. Yeah. But it was cool seeing the replica Batmobile. Mm-hmm. It was cool. They had the replica
the kit car
was there. They had all kinds of movie people there.
The wrestling people were there.
Yeah. You know what? For a small show and for $25 to get in, you had 8 hours worth of entertainment. Great show. Interestingly, how they moved Artist Alley up to upstairs.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit separate, which I thought was good for getting people away from people milling about in the artist area. But I really liked it. That was a great
all
show.
Right. Okay, let's continue on the cons because I wanted to talk about the wrestlers and all that other stuff. Okay, so New York Comic Con is this weekend coming. Well, it starts tomorrow, I think.
Yep.
It's a 4-day show. So, and that's the last huge show of the year.
Like, and it is a big one.
Big one. Yeah. It's kind of the finale type of thing. And that's going to probably break attendance records like they all do. Yeah. Year over year, they're breaking attendance records. So, I mean, if we look back at 2014, it's pretty well the year of the con, right? I mean, I think 2014 was really the year that comic book conventions really asserted themselves as serious pop culture phenomenon, as serious income generators for cities in terms of tourism,
right.
hotels,
yep, yep,
restaurants,
yep,
you name it, right? Local businesses are profiting on the thousands upon thousands of people entering into these cities
yep.
for these cons.
Yep.
And I'm just like, I'm thinking, I'm going, you know, I mean, pretty well all cons have now maxed out the largest possible venues in each city.
Right. Well, no, hold on a second. Hold on. For Hamilton,
yeah.
I mean, not that Hamilton's a big convention circuit yet, but I know right now it's at the Hamilton Convention Center, but yeah. isn't the Careport Center
I don't
a
know.
Bigger?
I mean, the guys looked at it last year, and they didn't think it was a good fit.
No?
So,
okay.
But,
right.
But I'm generalizing. I'm talking about the San Diego Comic-Con, the Toronto Comic-Con, the Javits Center in New York.
Yeah.
These are cons that take in 150,000 people, and they've maxed out, right?
You know, there really needs to be a Las Vegas con.
Okay, yeah, and that should be the biggest one in the world.
That should be the biggest one in the world because
take in
500,000. Yeah, they can have enormous crowds there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, the Las Vegas con would defeat the purpose. I guess what I'm driving at is cons are it seems – the con circuit is strong enough to support huge regional shows.
Oh, for sure.
And then really successful local shows.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to dissect, say, the Hamilton show and everything like that. Is the key to success at a con having as much diverse pop culture as possible in a room? Because when you think about it, going to see a wrestler and going to see a comic artist are not the same demographic.
Well, you know, you're right. And I think you're onto something here because I think that's the way that pop culture's going.
Right.
Right? Because people want to go to this convention who don't necessarily have any reason to go to a regular strictly comic book comic convention.
Right.
Right. But they want to go, they want to see Lou Ferrigno, and they want to see the Batmobile maybe because they grew up watching the show, and they want to see their wrestlers. You know what I mean? So I think that having all this enormous diversity is really helping the convention.
Well, was it a knee jerk from, say, promoters that said, hey, crap, man, we got to get a wide range of audience as possible, so let's spread out our guests.
Yeah, you're right. But I think it has to be within reason. Otherwise, you're going to end up like the Detroit Con, right, where you get like washed up porn stars.
Yeah.
No
such thing as a washed up porn star in my mind.
Because really, they're still raring ready to go, Chris.
Right.
Well,
to the next con.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, unless that's the kind of convention you want to have, do you want to?
Why not have washed up porn stars in a pop culture con? Because they're pop culture.
Yes,
because
they've become iconic
pop culture
property. Really,
because
in a way.
Every 50-year-old mom who brings 12-year-old Billy to the show
will
then say, this may not be what I want to bring you to next year.
But listen,
they're
not dressed like
but
that.
But they know who they are.
No, but you know what?
The moms do.
Listen, Marty, you have those aisles in Comic-Cons that you have to avoid with 8-year-old kids with the flipping decapitated posters.
Yeah, with
the horror
what
section.
What about like in the Niagara show? It was...
Yeah, where you get the guts flying out of the guy or something like that.
Well, that's because they have a good horror section.
Yeah.
But they're all horror-centric booths and stuff. Like,
you should have the horror section beside the porn star section.
Yeah, you really should.
And that way you kind of stay away from that area if you're like an 18-plus area of the con.
No, I said I was going to the horror section.
Right.
They should mix them where, you know, little girl in the bikini wanders into whatever and she gets sprayed with a whole bunch of blood.
Yeah.
And then she slips and falls. Then another girl in a bikini slips and falls and they start fighting in a pool of blood.
Shecky's thinking like a promoter.
With bikinis.
Yeah, I like
that.
I like that. Go on.
Bikini blood fight.
That's what they need to have at one of these shows.
Yeah. I'm just thinking,
why aren't you promoting
as a businessman,
they need
what
some,
I would do.
Hey, they need some vice versa sausages thrown in there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, but that's what I want to see.
Oh, boy.
Listen, so, like, 2015. And 2014 was the year of the con. I have to say that I was just, it was mind-boggling.
Every convention was the biggest that we've ever been.
Calgary
and the most
blew the lid off of it. Montreal blew the lid off of it. Toronto, blew the lid. It's like, I'm not worried. You know how everybody, we're stupid as people. People are stupid, right?
Yeah.
You have success and you start worrying.
Yeah.
Like, true. Oh, it's going to end soon. Oh, it's going to be a collapse. Oh, here comes the end. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a big crash. You know, it's always like the naysayers and the doom gloomers come out now because we're riding high.
But
you know, do you see it still riding high?
I do. You know why? Because especially in the smaller regional shows, because there are a lot of people who I saw at that show who I've known for years, and they're not willing to go to Toronto or San Diego or Buffalo or, sorry, New York or Montreal or Calgary to go to the bigger shows. But hey, you know what? I don't mind taking the bus to go to spend a few bucks at the Hamilton show, and maybe I got to wait in line for a little bit, half an hour or something like that. Mm-hmm. But they're more than happy to do something in their own backyard. But
there's still more momentum to join these trains. Like, every show keeps getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, Montreal and the Fan Expo Toronto are getting bigger, and then this Hamilton one went less than last year. The first Fan Expo Toronto in March went less than last year, and now they're closing down. Like, they're all getting bigger at the same time.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to ask you.
Here's what he's going to ask me.
Do you, like, much like, I see what you're saying, because are you saying that there's a possibility that the pop culture shows could end up being the same way as sports card conventions?
It's like a tech bubble. It's going to burst.
Well, like sports
or the
cards.
WrestleMania,
well, like sports
events.
Cards, yeah. You know, they were enormously hot for
years. Well, no, I'm not afraid of that, because sports card was very concentrated niche type of thing. It was specific collecting sports cards.
Right.
This is different. This has many, many different baskets within the con. The con can offer fans of many different genres, as my friend would say, also known as genres, to the public. Now, you know, like, again, my take on it is the comic culture, the comic book culture in the world that's produced these cons.
By Shecky Fells. Oh, sorry, wrong.
Yeah. it's maxing out anything any city has. I mean, look at Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
The basic format of local comic book shops, you know, the Free Comic Book Day has maxed out every comic book shop.
Yeah.
Comic book shops cannot physically take in more people into their comic shops on Free Comic Book Day. So how do you grow it?
Right.
Is my point. You got to start getting tents.
Shops
are starting to get tents. So I'm saying cons, are they like San Diego? They're starting to go off-site. Right?
That's right.
They're starting to do the adjoining hotel conference rooms for panels. And you know, this is a good problem to have. The cons are just so big, so popular, so strong now that they are eclipsing the confines that are available.
Right.
And even the largest cities.
Yep, I agree.
I mean, you're going to have to be holding them at military bases soon, for Christ's sake. Hangers, right?
Outdoor convention at Ivor Winston, Hamilton's Tim Hortons Field.
Oh, Hamilton's
it's changed.
Hortons
it's
Field.
Changed.
Yes.
All right, listen, we gotta keep moving here. We got more stuff to talk about, and it's already halfway through the show.
Wow.
Let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we will come back to talk more about comic books and the like.
A little bit of Krantz for you.
Love that bongo beat.
Yeah, that is the Bongo Beat Krantz. Yeah.
That was me, actually. That was live. That was me doing
I thought
that.
I thought it was...
Tito Puente
under
the room.
Yeah, Tito Puente.
No, I tricked you all. Oh,
nice.
Wow, I got skills.
Way to go, Tito.
Way to go, Tito. Hey, so what do we do now?
Now we're going to talk about more industry news. Shecky?
More industry news. Well, apparently, more industry news brought to you by professional cosplayers, because fake breasts can equate into a big gate at your conventions.
That's very true.
A big
very,
what?
Very, big gate.
Big gate.
Yeah. Big gaping gate.
Gate.
Yeah, gaping it. Gate. Got oh, boy. Okay. Listen, let's bring this back. This show back together here. Walter, you told me earlier tonight that you said that
I
liked
your shirt.
He liked my shirt. That Iron Man 4 is coming out.
Yes.
What is the deal with that?
Apparently on Ellen yesterday, on Ellen, that's the show, that's with the girl, Ellen.
Ellen DeGeneres, yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres. He was prodded into admitting that, yeah, he's going to sign on for Iron Man 4.
Oh.
Which is really cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, but details weren't divulged. Is that the right thing?
Yep, that's right.
Details weren't forthwith from Mr. Downey Jr., but he has said... So what I'm assuming is he's signed on for Iron Man 4. He's also signed on contractually for a multi-film deal. That's what I'm hoping.
Right, yeah.
That's what wasn't said in the communique and the little report there. But that's the best of news possible for Marvel,
nice.
I think. And we've talked about this before on the show. I think... If any one actor had Disney in a jugular vein hold, it was Downey Jr.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
But at the same time, let's be honest, this is their biggest character. Put yourself in Marvel or Disney's shoes right now. They're probably saying, hey, Robert Downey, we're doing Iron Man 4 no matter what. Do you want to be part of it or do you want us to hire someone else? Because we're doing it no matter what. And of course he says, well, I'm not going to let the integrity of the character... dissolve a little bit by not being your Iron Man.
What Shecky's trying to say is, well, if you give me $80 million to start in it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to bring up the money, but, you know...
I'm sure he's getting paid a boatload of money.
Oh, his mind was ticking because I'm sure outside of the contract for this first seven he did, he got to renegotiate completely all over again and say...
Yeah.
This is my asking price.
Hey, guys. Apparently, we did really good on the first seven.
Apparently.
So I'm thinking maybe we can up it a bit.
But I think he's getting paid on like scale now. I think he's getting paid a percentage. I think that's what he did for Avengers.
Right.
And I think he's just making like ridiculous amount of money.
A percentage of anything that Titanic brings in, those whales of movies,
well,
I'd be okay with.
It says here, Iron Man 3 made... $1.2 billion worldwide.
Right.
So you know what? Yeah. Even if he gets a percentage of that, that's a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah. Wow.
Interestingly enough, he did say on Reddit that sooner rather than later, the Marvel roster will be made public and all questions will be answered.
That's what I want to see. I'd love to see the Marvel roster in terms of, okay, you guys are better than I am at this movie stuff. Now, who's the Thor guy? Sherman Hemsley?
Sherman Hemsley, yeah. He's moving on up in the world.
He is, yeah.
That would be Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth, thank you. He's like their Thor.
He's so, Thor,
you know, it's almost like a ball club now. You got to put the pieces together. So you got a good,
so
you got a World Series winning ball club.
Yep,
you got to re-sign everybody now.
Yep.
Contract year is up.
Yep.
Okay, we got to get Jose Bautista back. You know, we got to get Babe Ruth back.
Yep.
We got to get this guy back.
Williams back.
Yeah, we got to get all these guys back on the roster.
Yep.
To keep this thing moving forward, because as you and I have talked about, who's the guy? Who's the guy? That young kid that plays Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Yes. Yeah. So you got Chris Evans.
Chris Hemsworth. Robert Downey Jr.
Probably your three principals, right?
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson, of course, four principals. You got Johnny Ruffalo there.
hey, I'm Johnny Ruffalo.
Hey, Johnny.
Mark Ruffalo. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he's like a key.
If he continued to play Hulk, I think a lot of people would like.
But ScoJo and the other three guys are definitely.
I think the one guy that probably is a no one would care about is Jeremy Renner.
Oh,
who played Hawkeye.
You know, we forgot. I think maybe second to Downey, we forgot, or maybe even tops Downey.
Who?
Come on.
Who, Loki?
No.
Samuel L. Yeah, true enough.
You know, they have to sign
true
him,
enough.
Too.
So
it's, I swear, it's like a ball club. You have to re-sign all these big players. They just won your Stanley Cup. You got to re-sign everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, that's why I want to see this roster. I want to see how far out everybody's committed to.
But you got to remember, this is just for Iron Man 4. It's not for...
No. He would not. I don't think Robert Downey Jr. would negotiate just for Iron Man 4.
You think?
I don't think Marvel would allow him just to negotiate
because he's going to negotiate a 6-movie deal. And the way these things work, Chris, is, okay, you're going to star in Iron Man 4 and 5 as a feature.
Right.
And you're going to be in Avengers 3 as a co-star, but you're going to be cameoing in
dot, dot, dot. Yeah,
right?
So, fair enough.
So,
anyway, I hope so.
I think it's great news that Mr. Downey Jr. has signed on to Iron Man.
Yes, me too.
I think all the local comic book shops around the world should rejoice.
maybe they should have a Robert Downey Jr. Day.
They should,
you know,
they
and should. Then have all the Iron Man comic books on sale.
Well, what they should, what Mr. Downey Jr. should do is
he
do a surprise.
No.
Sorry. I said they should have all Iron Man comics on sale, and it just went right over your head.
I don't know. I don't know what the word sale means. No, they should have Robert Downey Jr. do a comic local
store
comic
signing?
Shop tour.
No, that'd be a good
Why
idea.
Not?
Yeah, sure.
That's a great promotional thing, and that would be really grassroots.
Oh, yeah.
And it just pops into, you know, I don't know, a little comic shop in Hamilton, Ontario, let's say.
Like, say, Big B Comics.
I won't say it. But just, hey, you know, just thought I'd pop in for the day.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's a very good idea.
Anyway, great news for comic book fans, for movie fans, for local comic book shops. Robert Downey signed.
All right, listen, we need to talk about movies. So you and I and Schexter, we talked about the Deadpool movie a few weeks ago and how there's been like leaked trailers that were test trailers, but not real test trailers.
Mm-hmm.
That they're sort of like testing out how what's the guy that they're getting to play Deadpool?
Ryan Reynolds.
So there's been like little trailer type things that have been appearing on the internet here and there, and then it's one of those things where as soon as you go to look for it, it's gone. Like it's been pulled by the by the IP. It seems like Deadpool is going to be the next sort of big thing, and Fox, much like Marvel, is sort of getting on this idea of, hey, maybe we should start doing crossover movies. So it looks like they're going to want to do that Fox is going to do a crossover movie, crossover event, with all the X-Men Universe franchise movies, and it's going to become the next big thing.
Help me out, guys. Does Marvel, not Marvel, what's the company called you're talking
Fox.
About?
Fox. Yeah.
Do they have FF as well?
I don't think so.
I think they do.
Do they?
Yeah. I think Fox has FF.
Could be. I thought nobody had FF right now.
Fantastic Four is in Fox. Yeah.
They still own it. They still, Silver Surfer or whatever, they still retain the rights.
So I love this idea. So they're looking at Marvel going, man, I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Marvel's doing it so good, so right, so well.
Yeah, so
they're connecting everything. And let's do that, you know. And Deadpool did come under the X universe through the X, the New Mutants, and you know, he was in the X Force and all that kind of stuff. So they're now embarking on that thing where I bet you in the Deadpool movie they're going to make references to some sort of X-Men thing, or there'll be some X-Men cameos, or that kind of thing, just like what Marvel's doing is now. Fox is blowing the whole FF thing. They should include, but they can't though, right?
Cause why not?
Does the mutant universe cross over with the galactic universe?
Sure, why not? Why not Fantastic Four versus the X-Men? You know, why not have
it's
some
been
sort
done
of
before?
Yeah, right. It has been. It's been done
if
in the comics.
They own both. They can do it.
But it's a build. It's going to take a while because they got to build it. Because first of all, they have to have a good FF movie, right? So that people are aware of it, and then at that end of that first FF movie, if they think it's good enough, they can have a cameo by, Hugh Jackman or something.
Let's be honest. First of all, we don't know what their contracts completely stipulate. There may be a thing where X-Men versus, you know, the Fantastic Four is not a plausible thing, where they can't be seen in the same film segment at all. Who knows, right? And maybe there are limitations if they can be done. we don't know what their contracts are, well, so it's tough to try and just guess at what they're going to be able to do.
Well, I can tell you right now, from what I'm reading with the Downey Jr. thing is this is a U-turn for Fox.
Yeah.
And they've just, so I can guarantee you right now that the people signed to star in FF, for example, are not signed to multi-movie deals because the idea has just come to them in the last few months.
Right, right.
Type of thing. So whoever they've chosen to sign, to play Reed Richards, whoever they've chosen to play Sue Storm or yes, The Thing yeah, or whatever, yeah. isn't on contract for, a 6-movie deal to star in a Deadpool or an X-Men. So this is something that they're probably now exploring.
But right. if they went to the B-list acting pool mm-hmm. of hiring people for this film, like Michael B. Jordan, who's now going to be the Human Torch, right? The African-American version of the Human Torch.
Yep.
They are B-list enough that if the first movie catches, they will be giddy to sign up for the second one because it'll only emphasize their career. Give them a huge payday to keep continuing,
so,
and then they'll tag them on for a 4-movie deal or a 3-movie deal. You know what I mean? So they're going to hire B-list, C-listers, so that they're going to be intrigued to want to sign that multi.
So in a way, Fantastic Four kind of tanking initially really allows all four characters to be recast.
Right.
No one of them is held to. Oh, they're just too good.
Now let
at what
me ask
do.
You guys this,
now,
Chris. You know more than I do. Like. What's that X-Men movie when they were young?
Days of Futures Past?
No.
First Class.
Yeah. So they recast
both
everybody.
Both of what I just said?
First
Class. I think he was talking about First Class.
Yeah, they recast everybody as a younger version.
Yes.
And it worked.
Yes, you're right.
So you know how, is Halle Berry going to be the only one that can play Storm?
I like that Halle Berry.
You're right. The only person I think is always sort of untouchable is Hugh Jackman, right?
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
But even the young Patrick Stewart.
But he got replaced by the young one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
But you know what? But speaking of, I think we need to talk about FF here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was segueing into that in a way. In the fact that they have to bring in FF, right?
Right.
We wanted to get today's show. We were talking about it earlier before we went on air. Is Marvel Disney trying to? They've always wanted FF back because they think that FF belongs in the cosmic universe.
Right.
They want Silver Surfer flying through Galactus. And battling Thanos. Like that's kind of where they kind of belong in the comic books, right?
Yep.
And Fox wants to. Keep it, and they're trying to reboot it, even though they've failed so far.
Right.
But I think this Deadpool thing, this whole new direction that Fox is taking, is giving them hope for Fantastic Four.
Absolutely.
But what we want to touch on now is Marvel trying to undermine that.
Yeah, really interesting story there. So, when I first got this wind of this news item, so basically. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen is it's being reported that Marvel Comics is considering canceling the Fantastic Four title in 2015. Now, mm-hmm. Fantastic Four is the first family of superheroes. Mm-hmm. Like they've been around for forever. Mm-hmm. Really, you've often said that it's really the driving force behind superheroes comics in the 60s, even more so than, say, The Flash something.
Well, remember, comics, Superman started superheroes.
Right.
But then superheroes waned.
Right.
And superheroes were maybe headed toward the dustbin because the model of the way superhero stories were told became passé, became juvenile.
Right,
And it was Stan Lee, Jack Kirby's approach to the Fantastic Four in the 60s, that revolutionary decade. It was also revolutionary in comic book storytelling.
And writing, yeah.
And that reinvigorated and resurrected the whole superhero genre, and if it wasn't for that change of direction that Fantastic Four ushered in, superheroes may have been on the dust heap.
I agree. So here we are. We have the Fantastic Four movie franchise, and we have the Fantastic Four title, which Marvel is thinking about canceling.
Yes.
Now, so at first I thought, what a stupid idea. Why would Marvel possibly want to cancel the comic book when the movie's about to come out. They could have more sales. Uh-huh. And then you start to read the story a little bit more. And you were telling me how basically Marvel wants the Fantastic Four movie to do terrible.
Yes.
So they're hoping that they don't want to boost sales in any way by having the comic book around when the movie comes out. So this way, if they figure they can the title, the movie comes out, no one really cares about the comic nor knows about the comic. Uh-huh. No one cares about the movie, therefore. Right. Yeah. Let's hope the movie tanks. And if the movie tanks, maybe Fox will give up the rights and give it back to Marvel.
Because as far as I know, it's like a re-endearing clause. So if you make a film every 4 years, you keep the licensing.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
I guess they're going to try and cancel it just before, hope that the movie tanks, and then they decide, wow, without an ongoing series of any kind to keep people interested, this isn't worth pursuing. So it might take 4 years for them to give up the rights, but eventually in 4 years after that, after the film comes out, they'll give the rights back because they won't bother, you know, pursuing a second film.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the first two, that like the original ones, they weren't that profitable in the first place.
No.
And that was with a comic series running and trying to hold ground for them. No. So, really, like, it might be likely that Marvel gets the title back.
I don't know. But remember when we were talking about a few weeks ago or a couple months ago we explored the topic of, you know, what comic books are. Comic books are the R&D of these large companies.
Yeah.
Comic books are where you test characters and you test theories and you test everything. Comic books are also peanuts in the money chain of these companies.
Oh, absolutely,
And we explored the idea a few months ago of a company like Marvel playing favorites.
Yep.
It's like, you know, who do we put the best writer, the best artist, and what the best project of next year is it going to be?
Yep.
Is it going to be a Spider-Man-based story, or is it going to be an Avengers or Iron Man-based story?
Because
how much money is going to come out of, you know, great popularity for us in an Avengers story versus a Spider-Man story?
Yep.
Because
it's
we're going to direct all that talent into the Avengers Iron Man pool, because then our merchandising and our movie business
franchises
will carry that torch forward.
Yeah, for sure.
That started with the comic, because it always starts with the comic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so here, it's like the Fantastic Four title, the comic title, the Fantastic Four, is being used as a pawn,
absolutely,
in a business battle.
Yeah.
Involving movie rights.
Yes.
Who'd have thought that day came?
I know, it's crazy.
Where a piddly title that people love reading every flipping month is now used as a leverage pawn between two movie companies.
It's crazy.
It's like, it seems wrong.
Well, it does. And that's why I guess, I don't have a devious mind, because I did not think of, as I said before, when you first said that they were going to cancel the title, I thought, oh, that's dumb. Like, it never even occurred to me that this could be used as a pawn in order to further the end game of Marvel and
getting the rights back to Fantastic Four.
Yeah. You know? But, I mean, like, you know, when it comes to rights, I mean, we've seen this happen before with the likes of movies like Ghost Rider. Like, clearly not doing a very good job of making those movies with Nicolas Cage, yet they keep on pumping them out because they want to keep the franchise going, just like Shecky was saying. They want to keep on having the rights to make that movie. And so we'll see if that's going to keep happening with Fantastic Four.
Wow.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude here. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but let's keep it going. What do you got for us there, Shexter?
A little bit of the 90s for you there, Chris.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You don't know what that is?
You played it before.
Yeah, and you don't listen, or you don't remember, you don't pay attention.
I only remember the things I like.
That's obviously the X-Men cartoon theme from the 90s there, Walt.
Is that what that is?
No, I'm lying to you.
Okay.
Anyway. This lattermost part of industry news brought to you by Robert Downey Jr., who says, Iron Man is like a box of chocolates. Everyone gets richer and richer.
The hell goes?
Nah, close enough. Sure.
Okay.
All right. Listen, we do have one more thing that we want to very quickly talk about.
Yeah,
here.
Let's talk about Halloween.
We got to talk about
We're
Halloween.
We're in the month of October. Yeah. What's our main mission on comic culture?
To support the local comic book industry.
Yeah, to support the local comic book shops. Because we're so learned men, knowledgeable men.
We are?
Men of the industry. Men that have...
Yes.
We've walked the mile in everybody's
shoes. You know, between the three of us, we've got at least like 80 years of comic book...
80.
Yeah.
Wait, you know you're talking about the three of us, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Yes,
all right.
We're good. We're learned.
So, and we're also men of the world. And we see this juggernaut of commerce that is... the Halloween season.
It really is.
Yeah. You know, years ago wasn't that thing, but over the last decade, Halloween has been so commercialized.
Some people like Halloween more than Christmas.
My goodness.
I know.
You know,
how
and,
could they?
I know.
And my point is you know, your party packagers flipping.
Yep.
They make $1 billion in October.
Oh, I know,
right?
Yeah.
They can close the rest of the month.
All those the spirit shops open up only in September and October, and then they close the rest of the year.
Yeah, they got stores that just open in 2 months
it's
of the
true,
year,
yep,
and they
yep.
make enough money to live
yep,
off of.
Yep.
You get your, you know, all the candies and stuff selling at the supermarkets.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Everybody's making a ton of money on
except
for the local comic book shop.
Yeah.
And here's the dilemma. Here's the puzzle. Here's the riddle.
Here's
enigma. Here's the thing.
Yeah. What is it? Here's the thing.
Why are we missing the boat?
Brrr. Ship's sailing.
Why are we missing the boat on Halloween? Why we as an industry, the local comic book shops, as a collective 2,500, you know, retail strong armada.
Yeah.
Why can't we
think that
Halloween.
Halloween's coming up. We should go down to our local...
What better match is a flipping stupid, you know, costume Spider-Man and a comic book shop? What better match is there?
It's so true. It's so true.
There isn't a better match.
No, there really isn't.
And yet we don't know what we're doing.
No.
We don't know how to turn Halloween.
Hey, Walt, tell us how you really feel.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to pose.
Oh, yeah, you go pose, Chris, I like you posing.
Pose.
Yeah, we'll draw a picture of you
posing.
That's
not what you said last night. Oh, wait a second. Listen, I'm going to pose some reasons to you, mm-hmm. and I want you to either agree or disagree.
Right.
Okay. So my first reasoning is distributing. Comic book shops may not know where to get the stuff.
Disagree.
Okay, why?
There's a flipping phone. There's a thing called the internet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just proving your point here.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if you wanted some pot, and that's illegal, you'll figure out where to get it.
So right? True.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about space for the store itself? Like actual land, floor space.
Location.
Okay, I can tell you right now. Every local comic book shop guys listening to me, I know you're hearing me. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But I can go into any comic book shop in North America and pretty well pinpoint dead areas of the store.
Okay.
You know, out of habit, out of habit, I got these, these knapsacks are hanging over here in this whole section here. I got these, you know, superhero knapsacks. It's I don't know. I think I sold one last week, you know, and they're just crap hanging
okay.
in certain areas
okay.
that you just get rid of.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
They got, some stores have flipping, you know, the toy. Some stores have Lord of the Rings flipping toys still on their shelves.
I know, they got dust on them. You can't really see that.
Yeah, it's my point.
Yeah. Gandalf looks the same.
So, no.
No.
It's vintage now. Okay. It might be worth twice as much as a sticker on it.
Okay. Yeah. So
move the dead stock in the store, put Halloween stuff there.
Money. Maybe they don't have the money to spend on the extra. Now, hold on a second. Before he defunct me right away.
Defunct.
Some local smaller comic book shops are running on a pretty tight budget.
Yes.
Maybe they don't have the money to be able to afford to buy excess stock that and take that risk and be worried they won't sell it.
Well, yes, that is a thing. But the thing, though, is you can't go from 0 to 100 in 8 seconds. What you have to do is you have to start slow.
Okay, so
you got crap comics in the basement. you know, somewhere.
Hey,
you
mean, they're my mom's,
gold,
right?
Yeah,
your
oldies.
Mom's,
yeah, yeah.
In the garage, yeah. You know, holding up the coffee table. I don't know what they're doing. but, you know, bundle them up and put them out as comic, like Halloween packs or so. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But
what
I'm
are you saying?
Is you know, year one, invest $100.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And then grow it. And then social media it. Talk up the customers that are coming into your store. Hey, what do you need? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We're dropping the ball on Halloween.
You are. You are. So I don't know how you're going to fix it, but the comic book industry itself is dropping the ball because there's millions of dollars that are being made not by comic book people.
Yes. All guys, right, let's wake up. Let's get together. Let's do this. Let's tackle this. Let's win.
All right. Listen, we do have – we've run out of time.
We always do. We always
I know. I know. I know. Listen, thank you for listening to Comic Book Culture. Go
it's
ahead,
actually Walt. Called Comic Culture.
Sorry, Comic Culture.
And it's on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. At comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com, and some other places I'm not sure of. Always beautifully produced by Shecky Feldstein.
Beautifully. And go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.